Questions are not irrelevant. Recording. So first up, I need kind of your names and what your background is and like how you heard about the jam and what you were expecting from it.
Okay. I'm Brittany.
Okay.
In my job, I'm a game designer. So Good World Games. It's a small startup here. Well, actually, it's not even here anymore. I'm the Toronto chapter. My boss is in Florida, so I work remotely. And so I make mobile games for that company. And my background is also integrated media, OCAD. So kind of a mismatch of everything.
How did you find a gig with Good World Games?
Craigslist. It was 2 years ago. They were looking for an intern.
That is remarkable. I am gobsmacked.
I got a job pretty much out of OCAD. So it's
Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist.
Holy crow. That's how I found my apartment, which I recently realized is only $150 more than, actually closer to $130 more than a rent-controlled apartment for minimum-income people in the city.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's an equivalent size. And in a really gorgeous old building. Mm. Turns out gorgeous old buildings have lots of rent control.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. I also found my apartment on Craigslist. Yeah. Craigslist is a good place.
You're really good with Craigslist.
You have to be careful with Craigslist.
Yeah. So, and what's your name and your background?
You can also find mass murderers on there.
Did you find a mass murderer?
Maybe a few.
All right, I can't hear you, so I'm just going to put this on here, because I can't hear you, my phone can't hear you, and I need to know.
Hi, phone, can you hear me now?
Hi, phone, can you hear me now? Okay, so what's your name?
I'm Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hello. I am a freelance filmmaker.
Okay.
I have a degree in creative writing and English.
All right.
So stories are what really attract me and have always attracted me.
Okay.
And what was the second part of your question? What attracted you to this story?
To the jam. Like, how did you hear about it?
I actually got an email through Women in Film and Television.
Oh, WIFT! I gave a talk there a few years ago.
Yeah. So I'm a member, and I got an email, and I thought it was a really interesting kind of email, and I thought, oh, what is this? And video games, yes, they have stories. Okay, that's interesting already. And then there's a video component here as well. That's interesting to me too. So I really didn't know what I was getting into, and I didn't have any expectations. I just decided to try it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did.
I got an email through Hand Eye Society, and then I ended up joining Dames Making Games, so now I'm a member. And
okay, I'm just going to write that down because nobody has actually told me anything about interesting all day. Well, most people came in through our direct networks, not our indirect networks, so it's nice to know that worked,
Cool.
That's a new thing. Okay, so I just wanted to know a little bit about your working practice, I guess, and like you're a game designer and you're a filmmaker, so what's your normal working practice for like this sort of thing?
Sort of thing? That would be more, I guess, Brittany's alley. For me, this is, in some elements, very comfortable, especially when we got to shooting, but in many ways, something I really had to sort of try to get my brain around a different type of workflow, in a way.
Okay.
Not exactly, but it works differently. Thinking about games works differently.
Okay.
You want to go first?
Is that you?
No.
No, it's not me.
Yeah. I hate these sounds. I'm allergic to technology. It's delightful.
Interesting that you're building.
I know.
It's not too far off. I mean, creating a game, you have the brainstorming stage, then you plot out a flow, which is what I did, and then you create content, then you go test it. I mean, normally I would have liked the tool perhaps a few days earlier, so I could go back and forth. Going to OCAD, I was telling Emma, I'm kind of used to strange new things and like different tools, I guess, or whatever. So it's not too different for me personally. It was kind of like, it was for me easy to wrap my head around it. I'm like, excited to
kind of
jump into it.
So what were you expecting from the software when like we gave you the presentation last weekend and then we kind of ditched you and were like, now make some content?
Maybe more before the presentation, knowing video, I thought there might have been, I don't know, like I approached you before, like having the hotspots move, being able to move.
Okay, so that's another question I have is like what features you wanted, but okay, so moving hotspots.
Moving hotspots. Oh, I noticed, I was going to actually ask you, are you able to delete rooms?
No.
Okay.
So not as of yet.
I'd like to be able to delete. Because I ended up, I thought it worked one way and then it didn't. So I had to delete half the rooms. I just removed the names, so it's less confusing for me.
Okay. We have delete rooms down on the list of things. It's mostly so that people can't vandalize right now because this is, in fact, available on the public internet.
Right.
So, we don't have a deletion thing because vandalizing rooms is totally possible, right?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's something, I guess, aside from people. Yeah. Okay. That's, I don't know, what else? I guess you haven't played with the tool.
Go back with the original question, to the original question?
Well, what were you expecting from the Screen Perfect software? Like, you got an interview and a preview last week,
right.
And I was just wondering if you had any expectations, or if you have common choke points in your own normal software practice, and my questions are kind of about friction that you have with your machines, or if you have friction with your machines, or where that comes up. And
I'm
how
probably
things
not the best person because I'm not the one implementing the content into
but
the.
You also use software.
I use
video software, so it's fair to talk to me about the video software you use normally as well, because
I edit and I shoot and I use technology obviously in my practices, obviously different, but I didn't have a chance to interact with this software. But just understanding what the tools are, like what's available, like because obviously they dictate what you're able to do, or not do. So I had a lot of questions originally trying to figure out, so we have all these grand ideas, like we want things to be moving around on the screen, then we want to be able to click here and go out there and blah, blah, blah. Is that possible, right? So the software dictates what you're able to do. It creates a boundary and confines for you to work in.
Yes.
And obviously, sometimes that is a good thing because it structures your process. Like, you know what you can do. You simplify your approach kind of based on what you can and cannot do, which is what we did. We knew we could do this, this, and this, but couldn't do this, this, and this. So we kind of, it allowed us to focus, which I thought was great.
And can you tell me a bit about what your game is and sort of what you're interested in?
The game was exploring movement physically and mentally, and then basically what it takes to gain awareness to shut it all off and be still, whether or not
it's quite a complicated idea to begin with, I thought. To translate into, it's almost like a philosophical, I thought, idea.
And how did you come up with that?
it's something I kind of think about all the time, and my mom's a yoga teacher. I do yoga. It's kind of ingrained through yoga to be still and not think, which is super hard
and counterintuitive to how we conduct our lives.
Okay. Yeah. And do you also have that kind of a practice, mindfulness practice?
I'm definitely aware of this idea and this sort of spiritual philosophy, Eastern-based philosophy.
We're definitely on the same page.
And I instantly connected. Like, that was originally Brittany's idea.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot. I thought it was very interesting to explore, the stillness of the mind versus the activity of the mind, and subsequently the stillness within the body or quiet within the body, and how those interact, and how those sometimes there you could be as still as as a leaf, and your mind is so overly active, and you can't find stillness, or you're laying down in bed and you're trying to rest. So it's really interesting. Like, it's basically the mind body connection, ultimately.
Okay.
And Deepak Chopra just came out with a book about it. It's very interesting.
How did you guys decide that you would work together? Because that seems it's amazing that you have that simpatico. So
well, because it's funny, we just ended up sitting beside each other, and at our table we had two other girls.
Yeah.
I thought we had the most corresponding skill sets that would complement each other, as in I could create the content, Brittany could help structure and also implement all of the stuff, and I can help her execute her vision.
Match
it would just
heaven.
Seem like a smart
No, it seems like
match.
A great pair.
The other girl that was sitting at the table was an illustrator.
Actually, they were, the other girl seemed kind of like a jack of all trades.
Okay.
Right,
to
so
me.
It wasn't clear.
But... Yeah, but I mean, we had started talking way before, and I don't know, it's like, you start clicking with someone.
It seemed like it made sense, I think, that we could help each other execute.
All right.
And since I have no experience in implementing video games, I need someone, I think, like Brittany, to help me
when you think of a video game, what do you think of? I'll ask you in a second.
Yeah.
Because you are going to have a different...
It seems like, you know, for me, video games are this magic world, like, that are... There's all these people behind the scenes that are able to link all these things together, create this experience, and then you see the magical result. Kind of like what film does, you know, you kind of see this ultimate fantastical sort of world that you get submerge yourself into, but it's people have had to do this behind the scenes the whole time to create all that. It's a false reality. We perceive it as a reality when we view it, but it's a false.
Okay. And what sort of media do you consume? How old are you? One approximations are fine. And sort of what is your relationship with television and YouTube and video generally? I mean, you're a filmmaker, so.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm in my 30s. My relationship, I would say, like, my first love is film.
Okay.
So I understand all of the content that's out there right now. I enjoy the YouTube videos and all that stuff, but when I come across something that I really enjoy, but like my passion is in that world where we create a false reality, where we tell stories that deeply connect to us on a really meaningful level, which is what I believe great films do. There's all kinds of levels and genres of films.
And to you, what is a great film? Like, just pick one, maybe?
I mean, it's funny because
just
films,
so that I can get
films do to us different things at different times in our lives.
Yes.
Sometimes we need a good comedy on a very real sort of level. We need that. And so it's really hard to say because, again, I think it's such an interesting, again, it's a whole other world.
Yeah.
The films I have personal, and again, films are so personal
to
people.
I'm just asking you for,
yeah,
like,
so it's really hard because
I'm not asking you for, like, research data here. I'm asking you for a portrait of you.
Me personally, I am a big fan of... okay, like, I'll go through some either films or favorite directors, like, you know, I usually go backwards to film. There's a lot of great filmmakers now, too, but let's say, like, things that I think are just great, like, I'll watch Fellini, Godard, you know, Kurosawa, like, all the greats, and you go back and, Cassavetes, there's just so many great filmmakers that have gone into history for very valid reasons. So for me, when I started seeing those films, that's why I have a personal connection to them. That's when I, like Bergman films, not all, none of these directors in the whole filmography, but when I saw some of these key films, that's when they truly ignited something within me as a filmmaker.
Okay.
And I saw the medium as being able to speak on so many different levels. You can connect philosophically, emotionally, spiritually. Like, it was such a powerful...
Yeah. But you're very new to gaming.
Oh, yeah.
And to video game effects.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm going to move to Brittany now and just ask you kind of what your media consumption patterns look like. And, like, you are a game developer by trade. And I just sort of want to know what your interaction with film has been, but also, like, how you consume media and how you understand narrative and stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I consume a lot of games.
Okay.
Like, many genres. I grew up playing games, so it's kind of just been a consistent thing in my life. I never really took a break. Like,
okay.
And
how old are you?
I'm 24.
You're 24. Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up with, like, The Sims, and then on PC and Nintendo, GameCube, Wii. So I grew up with all that, Game Boy. And then now, I enjoy AAA big world games that, like,
Could you name a couple that you like in particular?
Skyrim, Fallout.
Okay.
Yeah.
That gives me a good idea.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I do like, and I'm very aware that it's kind of in a huge immersive get lost for 10 hours or something type of game, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's
not
cool.
Everyone is. But I'm making a more conscious decision to try different types of games. I tried a bunch of indie games recently that I was inspired by Gamer Camp to do so. So like Papers, Please, Mark of the Ninja, Guacamelee, like things like that.
I liked Guacamelee, except I think they only must have had two QA guys, and like they got really, really good at the game.
I'm actually...
Because, oh my god, the later levels. I'm just like, are you sure?
I'm becoming friends with one of the lead designers on it. Jason, I'll pass that along.
Jason, swap out your QA guys for the later levels, because that was not... That is not fun.
So yeah, I'm trying to try these new games out, different genres, and like more quick play ones that, because I want to play, I want to create games that inspire more feelings, like not a feeling of like epic wins, but more of like the depression games, like but not maybe so depressing, but stuff like that that makes you feel different things, things that games don't make you feel right now, especially AAA games.
And how would you tie that to like film? I mean, like, do you watch movies? Do you watch TV? Is that your thing?
I
already had somebody say Piracy is King to me, so you know, whatever you wish is fine here.
I used to watch a lot of film. I don't anymore. I don't know why. I stopped getting cable and I stopped going to the movies. So unless someone really makes a list, like maybe you can make me a list of really good. I just find like they're a waste of time if I don't know that they're good.
Yeah.
And then I just look back and because they're such an investment. Like with games, sit down 10 minutes, you're not like entertained, you put down the controller. With a movie, I find like you kind of have to commit or.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's like a 2.5 hour thing.
Yeah.
And if you, at the end of it, be like, that was awful, you're like, well, always 2.5 hours.
Exactly.
You know? And I didn't really have a choice because, like, well, what if the ending was different?
Yeah, that's why I played it safe and I've gone back to, like, you know, I pick movies, I try to pick them very carefully because I don't want to be stuck.
Exactly. So I'm more of a TV person. I digest TV shows more.
Oh yeah. There's been some great shows.
Like Dexter and like The Walking Dead and like they're very cinematic and like great narratives and I find those are more easily digestible for me.
And what do you use the difference between film and television and YouTube? And YouTube as a consumption pattern.
Hmm.
I'm picking YouTube, but what I mean by YouTube is internet short films.
Right. I like it because I watched Wigs. Do you know Wigs? It's a YouTube channel that creates actually feminist or like women-driven stories.
Yes, I do actually know.
And they actually have a lot of actresses that are recognizable and stuff, but it's more indie, I guess.
So do you follow any YouTube channels then?
So I follow Wigs and I follow Jenna Marbles, I'm sorry to say.
That's fine, I follow Hannah Hart.
But yeah, there's a few people that it's more just humor, type of humor that I like, and I do follow that stuff, so if I need like a quick like 5 minute just hilarity, then I do. I like consuming that stuff. I'm not against that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And how do you feel about these things?
Well, I think like shows, television series that I've started watching and have like I'm addicted to.
Yeah.
They are like the line between film and these shows is really blurred because the narratives are so good and I think that's what really gets you is a really
yes a strong story arc wins
that connects
for me.
Exactly.
I came of age with Buffy
and I think with some games I'm sure it's the same thing like you have to invest and get involved.
It's true. So what are you hoping to pursue? You were hoping to pursue mindfulness in your game. And I was wondering if you had anything. Oh man, I wanted to ask something cool and my whole brain just went.
Sorry. That's okay.
You guys are giving me so much good information. I guess I was going to ask a little bit about like what features you wanted, but you already told me it was moving hotspots and the ability to delete a room, and now we've just gone on to kind of the meaningfulness of film, and this has highlighted kind of this crazy generation gap that I was talking to the other guys about, which is just that I am in your generation, but I don't have anything in common with your generation at all, because I'm approximately 4 years younger than you, I would guess, and there's just a rift there where the internet happened, and it's a thing that I've noticed that's really interesting, is that I fall down really hard on the internet kids line, and it's been really interesting for me as I've been growing up, and definitely talking to people around the room, I'm like, oh, that's it. Big shift, those two groups, but that doesn't really matter, so.
I think those shifts are becoming even smaller. Like, now where it's like, okay, someone a decade from me, like, we still have, like, for me, I feel like I have a lot in common with Diana.
Yeah. Funny enough, yeah.
Right? But, I mean, that could be unique
and
to
I'm
us,
quite
which
a
I'm
older
not
than
sure.
You.
I don't believe
yeah.
that.
Well, I mean, like, I have one or two friends who are, like, in their 40s, but I feel very, very distant from the vast majority of my office workers, mates, who are, like, in their 30s and just very
okay.
usual.
So it could be unique situations, but I find, like, for me, to Diana,
yeah.
there's not a too crazy of a jump, but then I find younger, like, my half-sister,
yeah.
who's 11,
yeah.
who's digesting, like, or consuming stuff so rapidly and
mm-hmm.
so many across so many devices, I find there's an even bigger jump with her.
Mm.
Where I don't feel as connected, and someone who has like 10 Instagram accounts and like basically treats Instagram or like things like that as siblings, and so it's just, I don't know, it's
yeah,
just so many.
I actually think that what you're personally, from my point of view,
mm-hmm.
I actually think it's more of a personal thing than it is necessarily, at least from my experience with you. Is if you notice, like, we've had a lot of conversations that actually had nothing to do with technology,
mm-hmm.
it was
yeah.
more of just a human connection, I
right.
think. So it's tricky, I think.
About
it has
the level
something
of technology
do,
in your life, maybe, or your affinity for it.
Like,
or,
I mean, if
yeah,
you
yeah.
meet someone and you really click with them, and let's say there's a really big generation gap,
mm-hmm.
like, if you really connect, like, I can learn a ton from you, which I intend to do, like, a
and
lot
vice
about
versa.
Video games,
yeah.
and then there are things that I can actually throw your way that you might have not come across
yeah.
or wouldn't come across, so we can exchange. It just depends, I think, on...
So is that something that you expected to have happen out of this jam, or is this a...
Not at all.
No.
I have no idea. I just kind of...
Just a delightful bonus.
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
just
I'm curious.
Nature,
I was actually kind of nervous about pairing up with people.
Okay.
Because I've had... I guess through OCAD, I've had some shitty experiences with partners and stuff.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
I guess people just have, like, different levels of commitment, and,
So are you talking about, like, the usual group work breakdown, where, like, one person ends up doing all the group work,
right.
and then everybody else is off smoking in Butterfield Park, or... You're
pretty
anonymized,
much.
By the way. All of this is going into my research as these people sort of said these things. So you're allowed to just tell me.
No, that's it's exactly that. But I find that's so, at least in my experience, it's very isolated to school. Now that I'm in the working world,
yeah.
it's kind of like, if you're going to be like that,
yeah.
you're not going to last long.
Right.
And
yeah.
knowing that Diane and I are both professionals and like we're obviously here and want to do this.
So how long have you been working for?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And Diane, I assume you've been working for a while.
Number of years, yeah.
How long have you been in the film industry?
Let me just try to think quickly. Maybe roughly 5 or 6, maybe somewhere between, you know, but 5 years?
I'd
be safe.
So you're both sort of in the early phases of your respective careers.
Yeah.
You're almost starting to get to the point where you can just sort of generically apply to jobs and be like,
yeah,
fine, X years experience.
Right.
You're just past that line.
Yeah.
So you guys are finding the professionalism thing useful?
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Oh,
yeah,
that's one thing when we were sitting here and there was one girl that was still at OCAD, I was really nervous. Like, I didn't tell her that. I didn't want to pair up with her just
okay.
because... I feel like we'd just be on different wavelengths
mm-hmm.
on experience. And I mean, I'm sure she could have brought cool stuff to the group, but
yeah.
I mean, just meshing-wise, I just didn't want another OCAD project over again. So that's...
What qualifies as an OCAD project?
Something where you don't have too much direction.
Okay.
And you just run wild. So
okay.
kind of similar, like, here, but I feel like depending on who you're with, you'll have
yeah.
the
well,
good structure.
Well, there are, as Diane so very calmly and beautiful, Diana, sorry.
It's okay.
So clearly articulated, that's because we put all of the constraints implicitly into the software.
Right.
We've built them in.
Yeah.
It's not too hard for us to constrain you because you have
mm-hmm.
to use our tool.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
my
yeah.
thesis is a little bit about the fascism of design.
Okay.
But it's also about the positive directions you can take with control systems. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, the 80s was all about Deleuze and Guattari and, like, the control society. And the control society happened, and then we lived in it for, like, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's time for some new ideas. And
yeah,
one
yeah.
of them is that, you know, one of the really popular things right now is that constraints can make you free.
Mm-hmm.
And people like that.
Mm-hmm.
They like
yeah.
talking about it because we are constrained economically. Like, a lot of us don't have as much money as we may be expected
mm-hmm.
to have at this point in our lives. Like,
mm-hmm.
my parents had a house
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a house.
So, yeah.
I do not even have a house on the distant horizon. But that's
right.
also a little bit because I'm, you know,
doing game design research at OCAD. But constraints can set you free is kind of like the theme of my thesis, is that accessible tools with limited ability can promote artists to concentrate on the artwork part of it instead of concentrating on the technology part of it. And this is a little bit, like, in a very quiet way, a screed against gearheads or people who are super consumed with the tools themselves, as versus moving through the tools to make an experience. So it's about that for me. So that's what my research is dedicated to, which is why I'm just sort of like, technically, like, what do you want out of your software? What did you expect? How do you feel constrained? How do you feel freed?
Well,
what are your
parallel,
normal points of friction?
Like,
you know,
I connected with what you're saying now and what you said originally at the very first introductory talk, which is like the parallel that I can relate to what you're saying and what you're doing in game design is, like, you know, filmmaking traditionally has always been a very exclusive art form, very expensive and very difficult for people to get into. It would be just controlled by very few people, very resource hungry, and over the past 10 years, it's entered your hands. I mean, exactly. If you really wanted to, you could shoot a short film on your phone today. I mean, you still need to purchase your phone, but comparatively, it's changed. It's given,
same with games.
Like, I can edit a film on my computer. You couldn't do that before. You just couldn't. So it's democratizing the art form. The medium.
And what are some of the benefits of that, and some of maybe the downsides that you see? Do you see any downsides? Do you see any benefits?
Well, YouTube, for instance, is a good example. Actually, going back to it, is that you have a lot of accessible opportunities for people to get their content out there, and so there's a lot of crap, and to find the good stuff, you really have to, somebody has to recommend it, it has to become super popular, it has to find its own value. In a way, it's still democracy, because if your stuff is shit, no one's going to really watch it, no one's really going to share it, usually. And if it has any value, then it kind of, like, the people vote, you know. If it has 100 million clicks, or it has even 100,000 clicks, then that means potentially.
How do you guys feel about viral videos or videos that are designed? Oh, that's that was Brittany sticking her tongue out.
What's that?
I was asking just how you feel about videos that are designed to go viral. Like,
it's just such a control freak thing. The reason I stuck out my tongue was because I work in mobile games, specifically right now social mobile games. My boss is very, like, very focused on, like, well, what's this gonna make it viral? And, like, basically you end up skewing a lot of your original meaning and stuff to make it viral, and then you end up not being true to what it is, because you're just like, well, I'm trying to get hits and, like, people sharing instead of the message.
But people do that all across every medium. Like, Hollywood pumps out, like, a ton of bullshit, repetitive films that we've all seen. It's just like a different, you know, slightly different premise, and you go in and it's like the idea is they want to make money. I mean, I think that happens when you combine any kind of creativity with business.
But I think that they have money, they don't really depend on it going viral. Like, they don't care. Like, I think Hollywood is a bit different than, like, the indie scene.
What is the ultimate purpose of aiming to have something go viral? Popularity? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, just like, everyone wants to get themselves out there.
Exactly. For what, though? For game, some sort of game.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously selling something at some point, right? Some level. Or not even something. I think the things that are not geared to go viral end up going viral. It's like a reverse thing.
Right.
Like, the baby, like, Charlie bit my finger. Like, I doubt the
anybody
parents
that
posted
was,
that, and they're like, oh, it's going to go viral. Like,
it's just sort of something that made them laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think more genuine things will have more likely, which is kind of a backwards
thing. Which is
thing.
How you can't predict it. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can, it's not a formula. Like, I keep telling my boss that it's not a formula.
Yeah, definitely.
You basically should, you should do something that you like.
Yeah.
Meaningful.
Yeah.
What you intended.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. But you can't, good things. Gearing something to go viral is kind of a...
really a tough call.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all really super interesting. And thank you guys for taking me through your
through your film stuff. I'm not
doing a good job at this consistent questioning because I just sort of let people talk to me about what they're interested in talk to me about. Huh.